Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back to Making Bank. I got another successful entrepreneur on Making Bank today for you. His name is Brad Costanzo. He is a serial entrepreneur who has built and sold two different companies, angel invested in others, and is one of the most highly sought after marketing consultants, helping business owners apply proven but highly unique and effective marketing strategies to grow their businesses. He is also the host of hit podcast, Bacon Wrapped Business with Brad Costanzo, which he uses as a platform to interview celebrity entrepreneurs and experts, extracting valuable insights and strategies that he shares with his audiences. Brad, welcome to Making Bank.
Thanks, Josh. It's great to be here, man.
Cool. Yeah, being on your podcast back in August, I'm like, man, I got to get this guy on the show.
Has it been that long, man?
I know. I went and looked. I'm like, wait. Back in August, I knew I definitely wanted to get you on the show, and we kept running each other at different events and stuff. And so I'm honored and excited for you to be on today, man.
Yeah, me too. Thanks a lot.
Cool. So, serial entrepreneur, and that's what I say. I'm a serial entrepreneur as well, just with all the businesses I've owned since I was a kid.
Right.
When did you kind of get that first bug and get started?
Probably when I'll give the credit to my dad, because he told me when I was like 15 years old, he's like, all right, next year, you can be like a lot of your friends and go, or right now you can be like a lot of your friends and go get a job flipping burgers, or I'm going to show you how to create a lawn mowing business, and you're going to put ads in the newspaper, and you're going to go mow lawns, and you're going to go work for yourself because it's good skill to learn. And I was like, that's cool. So then I did that. I put ads in papers. I mow your lawn for $20. And I like to think that my next step there was this genius entrepreneurial drive, which was I found my friends who didn't have as much money, just as I did. Sure. And they had crappy jobs, and I paid them $10 to go mow the lawn for $20. And it really had nothing to do with me being like this brilliant entrepreneurial mind. I was lazy and I had really bad allergies to grass, so I hated doing it. I was like, I've already got these people who hired me, and I really don't want to mow their lawns. I would much rather play video games.
Nice. So
that was kind of the early genesis of the whole thing.
That's
but
cool.
I kind of had that bug the whole time, although, I mean, I didn't really – I'd start side businesses while I had other jobs. I was working for – I was a finance degree, and I was going to be like a Wall Street guy. But for several years, I just screwed around and got like sales jobs. And then I became a financial advisor for Prudential Securities.
Okay.
Not on Wall Street, but I was in Dallas.
Yeah.
And – but the thing is, I mean, that's a eat what you kill kind of a job. Sales is a very entrepreneurial style job. So I've always liked that. Just, I had enough drive to just go do it on my own as opposed to just have a job for a paycheck, right? I'd much rather do that. And then throughout my career, I've always dabbled on the side, like these little opportunities. I'd chase them and see if they worked. And a lot of them didn't. Some of them did. And, but that was kind of the early ages.
Okay.
But I think it's because I have a problem with authority and I'm a really bad employee that I just have no choice.
I think that's as a lot of us entrepreneurs are. We're the bad employees. So we got to go find something to knock out ourselves. So
true.
As you were moving along, trying these different businesses and, working as a financial advisor, what do you think helped you along the way to what you've were able to turn around and sell down the road, business wise?
Being able to sell it down the road, I kind of ascribe that to a little bit of luck, just like getting in there,
sure,
doing it, creating a business that somebody else found valuable and wanted to buy. There was no one thing that I did, because I was actually surprised that somebody purchased it, to be really frank. I was like, holy crap, that was cool. I didn't know I could sell this. I didn't build that company to sell it.
Sure.
It was a publishing information publishing business. and in a very niche market. But I was kind of really surprised at it. I loved it.
Right.
And then I had another company that I had started and I sold for less money, but I still sold it. And it was pretty eye-opening in that a lot of the things that I do now, like in a lot of the new ventures, I have an eye on the, you know, the exit, which is, okay, is this a potentially sellable venture? Because that's really... it's nice to have a business that is has a sellable exit involved, because, you know, who wants to be just working their entire life, or who wants to just have a business that just peters out after a while?
Right.
There's something amazing when somebody pays you several times earnings, which means several years of your life. Like if somebody pays you, you have a small business and you're able to sell it for three times earnings.
Yeah.
That's like somebody to me, they gave me 3 years of my life, because it would have taken me 3 years to earn that, right?
Right.
That's what that means. So, hey, you just gave me time, which is the most valuable thing in the world. And that with that time, I can now go do other things. So that's kind of a roundabout way of asking a question. But I think the skill set that I developed the most, which has just led to most of my success, has been kind of an insatiable curiosity about business and strategies and tactics, and sometimes to my detriment, because I learn a lot that I don't apply, but I
right.
apply a lot that I learn, so it helps.
Cool. So with, you know, I know you said, you know, selling it and, you know, buying that time back and everything. What, I guess, what did you, so you sold your businesses. What part of that did you leverage that to do other things?
Yeah.
Did you just kind of sit and...
yeah, no, so I did. It was kind of cool. Like when I was in 2012, when I exited that business, I had some cash in my pocket.
Right.
And the one thing I didn't want to do was just go out and I didn't have another business idea that I just wanted to go immediately start. It was kind of nice. I didn't retire, but I took just a little mental break and I just examined other things. And I stumbled into consulting because I was starting from scratch. Luckily, not from broke like before, because I've lost everything I've got twice in my life through dumbass investments. And I built it back. And then this time I was like, okay, I got some cash in the bank. I don't just want to go throw it at something and then go, oh, crap, it's gone again.
Where'd it go?
Because that was a pattern. So I started asking friends of mine who are entrepreneurs questions. Hey, what challenges are you having? What are you trying to do that's not working? What's a nut you're trying to crack? Which has become, like on my podcast, one of my favorite little go-to lines, which is, so what's a nut you're trying to crack in your business? And people will tell you. And when they told me, I was like, well, the first one, my very, very first client that I had was Drew Canole from FitLife TV.
Cool.
And he had a much smaller business back then. And he had a thing he wanted to do, and he didn't know how to do it. And I had an idea, but I didn't really know. So I said, well, let me take a stab at it. And we made a whole bunch of money together with it. I helped him create a new profit center for his business.
Awesome.
And then helped him grow that. And then he referred me to other people, because people just saw that I was able to use the skill sets to grow my own businesses and then apply it to theirs. And I stumbled into consulting, and I loved it. And it's what's cool about it for me, the consulting side, versus starting into my own business, because I have my own separate business and businesses over here, and I hate the operations. I hate running them. I'm a crappy manager, and I hate every part about it. I love marketing and growth ideas, and I love – that part's fun to me. So the consulting is kind of what I like the most. It fuels my ADD and my need for variety and lack of complex systems.
No, that's cool. It sounds, you know, that seems like it plays then on your strengths, being able to step in and help other businesses, you know, grow from a growth perspective, you know, in those areas. I guess along the way, I know you've got to interview numerous different guests, some awesome ones, I know. And
interviewed this one guy, Josh Felber. He was amazing.
No way. No, but we got to take a quick break here in a minute. But when we come back, I'd like to, you know, kind of maybe dive in maybe some of those top things that you've been able to extract from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And either apply in your businesses or other people's that you've been doing consulting and everything for. So
sounds great.
Awesome, man. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back to Making Bank. We've been speaking with Brad Costanzo, who's been giving us a little bit of back on his background, as well as some insights that has led him to his consulting business today and being able to help other entrepreneurs grow and excel at their businesses. Brad, welcome back to Making Bank.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be back.
Awesome, man. So I know we mentioned that you've got to interview some awesome guests on your show. What are maybe like the top five extractions that you've been able to really pull from various guests that have helped you dominate and help other people grow?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question to answer because I've done like doing this for 2 years and there's been so much I've pulled out. I'll try to think of some few, but kind of like a more 30,000 foot view of
sure.
that. What's been amazing about it is whenever, like, I use this platform very, very selfishly. Like, I think about my audience second, as opposed to like, hey, I don't do this show
right.
for them. And I let them know that. I'm like, this is for me. I'm picking the brains of people that I want to learn stuff from, and I'm letting you guys listen. So just be happy that I'm giving it out for free, because
sure.
I'd be recording these conversations anyway. And it's kind of cool that whenever I have a tactic or a strategy I want to learn or apply to my business, I will oftentimes call up or reach out to the person that I want to know something from and say, man, I would love to interview you. My audience would love you. That's my that's my little thing. It's, my audience would love you. Nobody has ever asked how big is your audience, even when it was very small in the beginning.
Nice.
But I was like, basically, this is my version of saying, can I pick your brain over a cup of coffee, which everybody hates, including me. But because now I have a platform, it allows me to do that.
Yep.
So at different times, I've done this for different things. So one of the most recent and tangible things is I've got a coffee business. My wife and I started a national
cool.
coffee brand called Stiletto Coffee. And I know very little about the coffee business. She knows more about coffee. I know about marketing. But we're kind of trying a lot of new things that didn't apply in the past. So I've heard about these viral giveaways can be really, really good to build up to build up brand awareness,
right.
et cetera. And there's a great software called upviral.com,
oh, yeah.
which I'm
yeah.
using. And a guy named Wilco Decry is the founder of it. So I bought the software and I was like, man, I would really like to know the best practices. Hey, Wilco, I would love to have you on my show. I'm a customer of yours. My audience would love you. So we got on the show and I just like, here's what I'm trying to do with your software. What would you do if you were in my shoes? And he told me. And so right now I'm running a giveaway where we're giving away a pair of like $700 Christian Louboutin heels and a bag of our coffee, because the coffee is marketed towards women.
Sure.
And I'm generating like 3 cent leads
wow.
on this. It's been amazing. And it's because I reached out to him and used that. A few of the other things that I like, some of my favorite besides the Josh Felber episode, were Stephen Key.
Okay.
Who is the author of One Simple Idea. I'm a big yeah. fan and user of licensing, and he shared a lot of amazing opportunities about what you can do with licensing. Ron Lynch, he sold over $3 billion on TV infomercials. He's one of the
sure.
biggest experts and pioneers. I picked his brain for hours
nice.
On just how to – and really one of the things we talked about was how to market, especially towards women, because that's – who are mainly infomercial
perfect.
Buyers, and that's played into the marketing towards women with the coffee.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think of some of the other most useful things that I was like, oh, this is great. I'm just going to run out and do them. But
probably Vinny Fisher.
Vinny Fisher. Yeah, love Vinny. Vinny's awesome. I got a lot of great things from Vinny. You know, Vinny shared a reframe on selling a business, because I was talking
okay.
about that with, you know, the Stiletto Coffee. I was like, no, we want to build a business that is sellable eventually someday. And he goes, I want to challenge you not to build a business that you want to sell, but build a business that several years from now you would want to buy.
Right.
And he goes,
yeah.
think about that, because if you would build it a business that you would want to buy, obviously somebody else would want to buy it, but you're going to build it in a way that if you don't sell it, you'll be really happy to own it. I was like, ah, that's brilliant, Vinny-san. So that was cool. Off the top of my head, it's kind of hard to think because there's just been so many other inspirational stories or just really tactical and cool strategies.
Definitely.
But one of the most recent ones that I just did, which I'm still right now like buzzing with, this is new to me, which is equity crowdfunding using Regulation
oh, wow.
A, Regulation A+, equity crowdfunding, not like Kickstarter, which
sure.
awards, but with equity. And some of the new developments out there, which make fundraising available to any business owner for equity, we've never been able to, you know, advertise for non-accredited investors in
right.
the industry. Now we can, and it's really cool. So I just did like an hour and 45-minute episode with one of the top experts in that field. I'm doing another one tomorrow with another guy, and I'm really diving into this. And if you haven't looked at it or whatnot, I would definitely say you and your audience should just take a look. Regulation
sure.
A equity crowdfunding.
I know some of the laws recently changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
really, really cool stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Definitely have to dive in with that. So tell me a little bit. I know you guys have your coffee business.
Yeah.
What kind of led you that direction?
Well, my wife's been wanting to create a business for a while, living with an entrepreneur, right? So she's from Brazil, and coffee has been in her blood. Obviously, you know, Brazil is a biggest coffee grower in the world. And she had the idea, I want to start a coffee company. And at first, I was like, a coffee shop? I don't want to do that unless we're like, it's a place where I can work out of.
Yeah.
But we decided to do a national coffee brand because we know a decent amount about online direct-to-consumer marketing. And but in order to stand out in a very, very crowded marketplace, like coffee, it's kind of a commodity, right?
Yep.
How do we stand out? Well, we decided to do what nobody else is doing, which will either work great or it'll flop, but hasn't flopped yet, which is change the branding, not about the beans, but about the demographics. So we're selling to classy, sassy, professional driven women.
Right.
And we're doing it in a way like the name of it is Stiletto Coffee. Obviously, that's going to only apply to women. And it's funny, a lot of guys hear Stiletto Coffee and they think, is it like stripper heel coffee? Because they think stiletto heels, they just think of stripper heels.
Yeah.
But that's guys.
Right.
But every woman gets it. She's like, oh my God, I love stilettos, Louboutins, and Jimmy Choo's. So we took an object that is already very endeared to the market, and we named our coffee after that. So we get kind of the, positive connection there.
Right.
And we're trying a bunch of stuff. This is a branding 100% branding play. There's very little direct response. I'm trying to inject direct response strategies into it.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm a newbie at something. I mean, I think you're always a newbie at something.
Right.
If you're an entrepreneur, right? And I'm, constantly thinking, what the hell am I getting myself into? What am I doing? But I think it's going to work out really well. I've got a lot of resources, and I'm a firm believer that I don't have to know everything as long as I know people who do. And that's been one of the great parts about the podcast is it's like the best networking hack available to anybody that almost nobody's really using like that. Everybody's like, I'm going to build my audience and thought leadership, and I'm going to monetize my podcast. Like, screw that. I'm just going to build the world's best net Rolodex.
Yeah.
Which, getting there through this, because now I can call on people to say, hey, listen, here's what I'm trying to here's what I need help with, or here's what one of my clients needs help with. Can you help me out? So it's been one of my best secret weapons, really.
No, that's really cool. What's been, have you guys launched then?
The coffee?
Yeah, the coffee brand.
Yeah, back in January we launched, and it's June right now. So we're getting traction. It's one of those things that takes a while to pack that snowball and get attention, especially in a market like this. But, it's moving forward. Using influencer marketing, content marketing, contests.
Okay.
Ads are kind of hard. The margins are crap. So I can't afford to spend a lot of money to acquire. And this is an interesting thing for me because I've personally only ever been involved in selling intangibles, whether it's software or advice or info products. So you have a really high margin on it, for cost of goods sold. There's no real cost of goods sold. There's just costs. And almost immediate income. And I'm used to, I get a consulting client, sometimes pay me $10,000 or $15,000 for a day of consulting. And I love that. Awesome. And it's like, I get to keep all that.
Right.
With this, I've got to go negative for a while before we can go positive. And it's, it's big boy business.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, okay, I'm going through that little, part where like, I'm not liking this spending more money than I'm making part. When is it going to get better? So, but it will.
And you said you guys are you guys advertising on Facebook? I know you said you're running like a viral contest.
Viral contest, running ads to that. We're doing some content marketing on Facebook to articles. Really, like we've got one article we're running, like seven morning rituals of successful self-made women. So it has nothing to do with coffee, but it's on our blog. And remember, the successful self-made women is the kind of the avatar for the coffee because that's who my wife is.
Right.
And on there, we've got morning rituals from Arianna Huffington and Jessica Alba and some other business leaders. And then as well as the very last one is Kenya, the founder of the company.
Okay.
Wife. And then it kind of flows nice. Into the, and by the way, like here's Kenya's morning ritual, which is, by the way, 3 times more detailed than everybody else's.
Right.
So, and then afterwards, there's like I get a discount on the coffee and check it out. So we're doing some things like that. Amazon promoted ads, a little bit of everything. And it's, I'm trying a lot of stuff. Some of it, none of it's working as well as I wanted it to.
Right.
Some of it's working and it's process of elimination, really. It's like,
sure.
Okay. That's what marketing is, right? Guessing and testing, guessing and testing.
Definitely, yeah. It's one of the pieces I know, too, with our wellness company with the skincare products is just trying to test the ads and figure all this stuff out and funnels and different things like that. And so we've recently got the Up Viral software, so trying to put together something over there as well.
I'm happy to give you any tips on what's working for us, so offline. But it's
cool.
So far, as I said, we've got about 1,500 and almost 1,600 leads off of a $50 ad spend.
Nice.
And most of it has just come – I don't even know where most of it's come. I'm blown away, like 3.3 cent
awesome.
Leads.
Yeah.
I don't think they're scammy leads. I think they're pretty good leads. But I uploaded them into Facebook, and it all of them almost –
found.
Registered as a custom audience, so they're not like just spammy email accounts. Will it translate? So I don't know. Like if I get 2,000 leads by the end of next week, and then I email them, and the strategy is, hey, here's the winner. Josh Felber won a sexy pair of heels, and he's going to look amazing in them on his next episode. And everybody else walks away a winner too, because here's like a 30 or 40 or 50% discount on the coffee. Just
sure.
If they're on your list, you're trying to – it's just brand exposure. For the cost of one pair of heels, will it drive sales or are these all crappy freebie-seeking leads that aren't going to do anything? But it's exposure. Every single one of them who enters, they share the contest. And then on the thank you page of the contest, it says, here's Stiletto Coffee, here's who we are. So it's just getting in front of the eyeballs of more people.
Awesome. What other biggest challenges, I guess, you're working on getting your marketing done, have you run into, bringing a whole product business to market now?
Oh, man. wanting to hire other people to do a lot of it for me, but because it's so early and I don't know what I'm doing, it's hard to hire somebody when you don't know what you're hiring them for.
Sure.
Like, I think I need to do this, but I don't know. So that's been kind of challenging, is just finding the right help. And I'm looking forward to get it to where, hey, something's working. I'm just going to hire this person to just do this.
And do it better.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just been me rolling up my sleeves quite a bit. I do have some help, and I've got people on my team that do help parts of it. But it's the hardest part is just the stuff that I don't know that I don't know. Unconscious incompetence.
Yeah.
Or incompetence. And the worst part of it all, though, is the unit economics. So knowing what I make per bag of coffee is pretty low. Makes me wonder, like, what the hell did I get into this business for? I like much higher margin businesses. But I was I reached out to a guy who this is his main business. He's actually teaches how to sell coffee on Amazon and other places the other day. And we've got a consulting call. I'm paying him for his time next week. And one of the things he kind of switched up in my brain was he goes, Brad, the nice part about coffee is you don't need a million customers. You don't need to hit the big part of the market because coffee, especially if they like the brand and they like the flavor, people reorder it constantly. If you get 1,000 really happy, loyal customers, they buy over and over again. Just 1,000 people in the whole world or a country who want your coffee. If they're buying a bag, and let's just say I'm making $6 a bag, that's give or take, depending on,
what
brand it is and, whatever. Like, if you have a 1,000 people buying every single month, now that's not a lot of money, right? That's what, like, $6 a bag times 1,000 people, there's $6,000.
Right.
But that's every month without any marketing costs. And he goes, now if you get 2,000, 3,000, 10,000 people, the reorder rate is so high and the stick rate, people don't just stick for 4 months. A lot of times they'll stick years.
Yeah.
And the goal of this whole thing, though, is to build a business that is sellable because it is a brand. It's something that I think if we're able to get more distribution, other companies would be like, we like what they're doing. We'd like to give them millions of dollars to
to go away or to roll up under. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it's a gigantic experiment. And the reason I got into it, you know, besides just to help my wife bring a dream to reality, is it was a fun, creative challenge. And I probably wouldn't, I'm not doing it, it's not a get rich quick thing at all, but, or a get rich easy.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, businesses like that are definitely, you know, you're grinding a little bit more and really a lot more ins and outs to figure out.
Yeah, but that's why I also, the nice part about it is it's not, you know, I'm working about 15 hours a week, probably on the business, maybe about 20. And then the rest of the time I spend with my consulting clients and I still love the consulting stuff. It definitely pays the bills. It's something I absolutely love to do. And I'm good at it. And I like coming in and looking for the most leverageable activities. And the nice part about having tried, succeeded, and failed in so many things, I've got a lot of experience in the stuff that what works and what doesn't.
Sure.
So when I'm working with my clients and I show them oftentimes very out-of-the-box ideas that are like, wow, I never would have thought about doing that. I've had two of my clients, they're like, man, you're like a young Jay Abraham. And that's my favorite compliment ever.
That's awesome. Right? Like,
thank you. Except that maybe I'm, you know, a little less wordy. However, I think out of the box, and I think of ways that aren't just the traditional, you know, most obvious answers, and a lot of times they work really well.
Cool, man. So it's one piece of technology you can't live without?
Ooh, one piece of technology that I can't live without would probably be, well, my trusty microphone here in the podcasting. But I'm trying to think what I use more than anything else. That's a really good question. I mean, Evernote is probably over. Yeah, everybody probably says that, Evernote and Dropbox. But if there's a piece that, I mean, I love my Schedule Once, which is my calendar, a scheduling app, because it's probably the nicest thing. I don't just use it for podcasting, but for whenever somebody wants to schedule a time with me, whether it's a paid consult or somebody just wants to schedule a time with me to talk about something else, I just send them my calendar link, and I'm like, book this. Don't make me go back and forth and say, hey, what time's good for you? This time's good for me. There, my calendar's on there. So yeah, ScheduleOnce.com is what I use. There's other ones out there, but it's probably the one that I use daily.
Cool, man. Awesome. Any other insights or anything you could think to?
Yeah. The you know, one of the insights that I had recently, and it kind of depends upon who the listener is, but there's this big, I did a podcast episode on this, and the more I started to think about it, the more it made sense, which was the difference between being an entrepreneur and being entrepreneurial. And it's huge, because a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur. They want to be that because they think it's sexy and fun. And it's like, oh, well, I'm working 9 to 5. I don't like to work 9 to 5. I want to be an entrepreneur so I can only work half a day. And it doesn't matter if it's the first 12 hours or the second 12 hours.
Right.
You work half a day. Right? You got the hardest boss ever, and it's the hardest money you'll ever make. There's no such thing as an easy money for an entrepreneur.
No.
But, and a lot of people get caught up in trying to be the entrepreneur instead of being entrepreneurial. And you can be entrepreneurial if you have a job, if you have a, you know, even if you never want to own your own business.
Right.
An entrepreneur simply finds problems that they can solve for a profit. And you can do that if you're at a, you know, if you're in a job, go to your boss and say, listen, what nut are you trying to crack, boss? What are some business challenges you're having right now that you just don't know how to solve? And they might be like, well, why are you asking me this? You're an accounts receivable clerk. But no reason. I just want to know what problems you're having. And when you change up your mindset to think, to look and seek out problems, even if you don't know how to sell them, remember, you don't have to be the smartest person as long as you know how to find them.
Right.
And I've told some of my clients, some of my listeners, listen, you want a great way to do this? Just, you know, ask these people for what problems they want to solve and then reach out to me and I'll see if I can help you solve them or whatever. I'll pay you a referral fee. But that's the difference between being entrepreneurial and worrying about trying to become an entrepreneur. One of them is a lot easier. That's being entrepreneurial. So that's maybe my most recent insight, I guess. Might make sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense because, like you said, everybody sees the entrepreneur and it's as glamorous or sexy or whatever as it's been brought around over the years. And, but, and then they go, they probably have no business being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But they have ways that they could become that entrepreneurial person within where they are and become that hero there and that kind of thing.
Right. And even if you do have your own business, right? Whether, sure. Whatever you're doing, just always think of being what does an entrepreneur do? Well, they solve problems. They produce, they find a problem, produce a solution, and make a profit on it. Do that in your own business. Constantly be looking for the problems that you can solve, whether it's the problems your customers have or you have or, your competitors have or somebody else. The more you stay in that mindset, the more money you'll make. And I try to do that with myself. Like, I hate the operation side of business. It's the necessary evil, but you kind of have to do it. But I can hire people, do that aspect. I never want to get out of the mindset of problem, solution, profit. By the way, why I also like consulting so much, because I just get to stay in that mindset where I do the best, and my consulting business is myself and my assistant. So it's really, really cool. But I think that's a key. And the other kind of cool piece to leave you with is I found that you gain a lot more credibility and trust with potential clients by asking good questions than providing quick answers. Because if you can ask the right questions, and if you can ask really powerful, good questions of people, and you can probe and figure out what real causes and symptoms and solutions are, you never even have to offer an answer. I've noticed this in some of my client enrollment calls, which is I just ask questions. I almost never provide, here's exactly what you need to do. Oh, my God, we've got the solution for you. No, they'll just say, man, you've been asking some great questions. You obviously get this. How can I give you money? Like, I've literally had that conversation so many times. So I tell my clients who are also consultants or experts, they sell their advice. I'm like, understand the power of questions over answers. It's when you do, you make your life a lot easier.
Cool, man. That's some great insight at the end, and really appreciate you sharing your story and what you've been working on, in the first half and everything. So, and it was great to have you on Making Bank.
It was great to be on here, brother.
Cool. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.